Friends, it is later than we think.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, by God's grace, your heart is going to be stirred today. You are going to be freshly infused with faith and with truth and with courage. By God's grace, we're going to help you stand strong on the front lines. And yes, it is time for a wake-up call today on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. I'm going to open the phone lines, even though it's not Friday when we open the phone lines for any subject under the sun. It's not Thoroughly Jewish Thursday when we open the phone lines for any Jewish-related subject. Because I did not take live calls past Friday, I answered questions that were posted on social media. Because I did not take live calls, I'm going to do it today on any subject under the sun. Not sure exactly how much time we'll spend on calls, but the sooner you call in, the better chance you have of getting on the air with your question. If you'd like to challenge me on something, if there's an issue you'd like to raise, if you're trying to clarify something, if you're trying to get a biblical perspective on what's happening in the news or in Israel, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. Don't be intimidated by being on the air. It's just two of us having a friendly conversation. Also, if you're not getting our inspirational, informational, equipping, empowering, monthly, free, digital frontline newsletter, it is yours just by signing up. It's digital. It costs you nothing. You can read it on any platform where you are. You can save it for the future, and it will bless you every single month. Go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click on subscribe. Fill out the form. It takes you just a few seconds. We've gotten greater response to this than anything we've ever done in terms of greater interest in people signing up, so we know it is hitting a sweet spot. Those of you who know me know that I've been sounding the alarm, bringing a wake-up call for decades. It was in April of 1983 that I was powerfully stirred by the Lord with this burden, wake up the sleeping church. Not that I'm the only one to do it, but this is part of my assignment. Wake up the sleeping church, prophetically call God's people to repent, the time is at hand. So prophetically call God's people to repent did not mean by giving them personal prophecies or by looking at prophecies from the Bible, but rather to bring that wake-up call from the heart of the Lord to his people, a call to repentance, recognizing the urgency of the hour. That was 1983. And what's built on that over the years has been the call not just to see the church wake up, but the church to be healthy, thriving, strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And I'm often gripped with an urgency, the urgency of the hour, the burden of the moment. And this was common in the Bible for leaders, believers, prophets, apostles, whoever they were, to be gripped by the urgency of the hour in which they lived. Many of us have felt that over the years, as a parent, as a young person, as a pastor, a leader, that we get gripped with the urgency of the hour. And it struck me that Paul in Romans 13 said to the believers then in Rome, almost 2,000 years ago, now, it's high time for us to wake up from our slumber. High time for us to wake up from our slumber. And that Paul in Ephesians 5, after calling the believers to be conformed to the holy character of Jesus, says, this is why it said, wake up, thou sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That there is that wake-up call to the non-believer, but that now applies to the believer as well. Let us wake up, that Jesus says to Sardis in Revelation 3, you have a reputation for being alive, and yet you are dead. So that wake-up call often comes and you get gripped that the hour is urgent, the moment is urgent. And it's like that in every generation. And there are times where we get especially gripped. Well, a few days ago, I was going through some documents, some of my writings, and pulled up the Jesus Manifesto that was written in the year 2000. The Jesus Manifesto, A Call to Revolution. We gave away many tens of thousands of these in written form and in digital form. You can't buy it. It's just given away. The Jesus Manifesto, A Call to Revolution. And I wrote it with tremendous urgency. It supplemented my book, Revolution, which came out in 2000, then in an updated edition, second edition in 2020. But it reading it again and thinking of where we are today compared to then struck me deeply as to it's later than we think. Now, if you've listened to this show regularly, you know that I have great hope for revival in the church, bringing about a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution, that you know I don't think it's too late for America. But it's later than many of us realize, and the hour is more urgent than we realize. And the time to act being now more acutely than most of us realize. Let me read to you from the beginning of the Jesus Manifesto, all right? The dawning of the 21st century finds the Church of America in a moral and spiritual crisis. So this was written in 2000. Now here we are in 2024. The dawning of the 21st century finds the Church of America in a moral and spiritual crisis. Decades of self-centered living and worldliness have taken their toll. Years of compromise and toothless gospel preaching have had their effect. And now we have reached the moment of truth. Either we wake up, stand up, speak up, and act up, or we run the risk of becoming a mere historic curiosity, an irrelevant religious sideshow, an entertaining harmless spectacle. Something must change, and must change now. There is no other choice. 35 years ago, or today I would say 60 years ago, 35 years ago, writing in the year 2000, a counterculture revolution swept through America, resulting in a sudden, steep moral decline. Since that time, from the early 60s until today, the divorce rate has doubled, the teen suicide rate has tripled, reported violent crime has quadrupled, the prison population has quintupled, the percentage of babies born out of wedlock has risen sixfold, and couples living together out of wedlock has risen sevenfold. And the end is not in sight. The last generation's counterculture of rebellion has become this generation's establishment of revulsion. And what was unthinkable 30 years ago, now remember, I wrote this in 2000, daytime talk shows celebrating adultery and incest, homosexual love scenes on major network TV, 11-year-old multiple murderers, massacres in our schools and houses of worship, as a matter of course today. We need a revolution. Friends, it's easy to get hardened by the world in which we live, that we're so used to it, we're so used to the atrocities, we're so used to the madness, we're so used to the cultural decline, we're so used to the spiritual compromise, we just get used to it. We're around it so much, it's bad, but it's no big deal. Our consciences can become hardened, and sometimes we get so polluted ourselves that we don't even realize it. You know, it's like you've been playing in the mud so long, you hardly even realize you need to be bathed and washed head to toe with brand new clothes. You're used to it. And that's what's happened to so many of us. We've been hardened. We've been polluted. We've been weighed down. We've been watered down. We become discouraged, we become worldly, whatever it is, but we've lost some of our sensitivity. I mean, after all, you've been fighting the pro-life battle for decades. At a certain point, millions and millions and millions and millions of babies, it's almost overwhelming. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with it? So much tragedy, so much pain, so much sin, so much compromise, so much worldliness, so much junk, so much madness. How do you deal with all that? So sometimes just kind of tune it out. We just get used to it. So on the one hand, we have to keep our eyes focused on the Lord, otherwise we'll lose our minds. We have to take our cue from him. and have the attitude that should come from being in his presence and being in his word. Absolutely. At the same time, we cannot become indifferent to what's around us. There are a number of quotes that I've read in the past, but I want to read two quotes to you again. I want you to tell me when you think these quotes were spoken the first time. Who said them, who wrote them, and when. Quote number one, but much modern homosexuality is an expression of the current denial of antithesis. It has led in this case to an obliteration of the distinction between man and woman. So, the male and the female as complementary partners are finished. Who said that and when? Let me read it again. But much modern homosexuality is an expression of the current denial of antithesis, so of opposites. It has led in this case to an obliteration of the distinction between man and woman. So the male and the female, as complementary partners, are finished. That was Francis Schaeffer in 1968. So even before the Stonewall riots, he saw what was going on. He saw and recognized what was happening and where things would go. 1968, friends. I was 13. Many of you weren't even born then. How about this quote? The transgender revolution is the latest political cause being promoted by those of heightened consciousness. Columnist John Leo notes that San Francisco now pays for city employees who want sex change operations, and a number of television shows are in the works portraying the joys of transgendered liberation. Los Angeles Times had a sympathetic story on a husband and wife who are both having the operation. They will stay married, but the husband will become the wife and vice versa. You say, well, that must be like right now. It's like a recent quote, right? Nope. That was Richard John Neuhaus in 2001. 2001. Friends, it's later than we think. And one reason we're in the state we're in today is because we haven't heard the wake-up calls. We haven't heeded the wake-up calls. We've hit the snooze button or just ignored it entirely or thought, well, someone else will deal with it. Or, well, we're out of here in a minute because Jesus is coming back and it's all going to go down. We're out of here in a minute. Well, we're still here. We're still here. And all this moral, spiritual decline in America has happened on our watch. So it's time for us afresh to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Use me. I want to make a difference. I want to be on the front lines. I want to be used in a positive way. Hineni, here I am. Lord, send me. Use me. Is that your prayer? Is that your desire? 866-34-TRUTH. Phone lines open. Any subject under the sun, any question you want to ask, we'll take it today if we have time. 866-348-7884.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. Would you like to know a way to support strong hair and nail growth? A way to support healthy skin and a healthier gut? Well, it is no longer a secret. I would like to introduce Trivita's Multicollagen, a pure hydrolyzed collagen peptide. Multicollagen has five types of collagen that support your body in so many ways. It is abundant in amino acids, gluten-free, and hormone-free. Here's a testimony from a happy user of Trivita's Multicollagen.
A friend introduced me to Trivita's Multicollagen about 2 years ago. I was really excited to try it. I had noticed that as I was getting older, I was losing a lot of hair, and my nails and skin were not as healthy as they used to be. After a few weeks of taking Multicollagen, I noticed a really big difference. My hair loss was almost none. My nails were growing quickly, and my skin was much healthier. It's so easy to take, too. I just add a scoop in my morning coffee every day. Multicollagen is one supplement that I will never give up. Thank you, Trivita.
Now you can say goodbye to dull hair, brittle nails, and tired-looking skin. True beauty and optimal health starts within you.
Support thicker hair, healthier nails, and supple skin. Trivita's multi-collagen really works. Try it for yourself by calling 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. And know that a significant portion of your first order will go to help the Line of Fire radio broadcast. So call now, 1-800-771-5584, 1-800-771-5584, or online at trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Shout out to our co-sponsor, Trivita. Thanks for making your great resources available to our listeners and viewers at a 25% discount. Thanks even more for donating 100% of the first order to the Line of Fire for our continued outreach to expand on stations across America and more than a tithe of all subsequent orders. So thanks, Trivita. If you haven't checked out these products, which are part of my daily health routine, supplementing, healthy eating, and exercising, call 800-771-5584 or go to trivita.com, use the code BROWN25. I'll get some calls shortly, 866-348-7884. I've been saying for years, friends, that there will be a pushback, that the radical left and radical activists will overplay their hand, and finally that Americans will say enough is enough and begin to wake up. It's very late in the process, and many lives have been taken, and much damage has been done. And many families have been torn apart, and many young people pulled away from the truth because we haven't been alert, because truth be told, we were often more concerned with just living our lives or entertainment or being popular or being liked or making a living, and we weren't thinking of our mission in the earth to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But if we're not shining, who will? Who will make a difference? I wrote some poems a number of years ago, sarcastic poems. You might say, you? Sarcasm? Yes, me, sarcasm. And I'd like to share a couple of them with you. This one is, well, probably for 30 years old, I think, well over. This one was called Wither Persecution, meaning whatever happened to persecution. And it was talking about the soft gospel that masquerades as the real gospel in America. And that, of course, will not work in much of the world. persecuted saints? Oh, no, not in our day. We're the enlightened church. We found a better way to preach the gospel message while getting no one mad. We leave out God the judge and just speak of God the dad. We major on the promises. We're positive to the max. We want to sit in the field at home. We help them to relax. We're strong on self-acceptance. We build the ego up. We're here to make you happy. So come to church and sup. You'll find such tasty dainties. Each meal will be so sweet. Nothing will upset you. The sermon will be a treat. Sunday morning is the best show, designed to entertain, with every detail chosen to spare the rebel pain. We've cut out all those nasty words, hell, repent, and sin. Our pastor's slick with such finesse, even his wardrobe's in. He's not the John the Baptist type, rabid and out of control, raving and foaming at the mouth like some frenzied droll. Our church is for the family, with fashion shows and fun, and bowling, tennis, swimming too, plus cruises in the sun. We're socially acceptable. We adapt and change our hue. We're sensitive to our culture, like chameleons, we're true blue. Oh, away from us, you dreary ones, with your talk of self-denial. Jesus already bore the cross. Now we can live in style. The Savior's not offensive. He only gives good things. He makes us rich and prosperous so we can reign as kings. Suffering, hardship, martyrdom, they're really not for us. We're giving out the good news. There's no need for all the fuss. Persecution comes from lack of faith when saints don't know the word. Poor Stephen might be alive today if our message he'd only heard. Yeah, friends, we need to be infused again with courage. We need to be infused again with boldness. One thing that's greatly helped me is ministering outside the United States on more than 200 trips thus far, including 29 times in India and other parts of the world in the midst of a persecuted church, and seeing the devotion of believers, just regular people, weak human beings like you and me, moms and dads and young people, singles and older people, and they get saved. They understand their lives belong to the Lord. They understand following him could be costly. Following Jesus might mean your family puts you out, might mean you lose your job, might mean you die. But they understand that they now have eternal life. He saved them. They know the weight of their sin and the beauty of his grace, and he's their Savior and Lord, and he means more to them than anything. And they live these simple lives, and they make an incredible impact. And we have so many resources at our disposal, but yet often our message is lacking. Often the truth is not to be found in it. It's often so watered down that you can't tell it from the real thing. So, friends, it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to examine our lives. It's time for us to say, Lord, I don't want to play games. It's so easy to be lulled to sleep here in America. There's so many distractions, from entertainment, sports, to internet and social media, just the distractions of life, the pleasures of life, and then just get caught up in this whirlwind of activity and pulled in a million different directions and step back. We need to step back and get with God. I was just looking at a curiosity in my sent folder in my email, and the main account, the one I've used for many, many years, it has over 225,000 sent messages in the sent folder. So over 225,000, almost a quarter of a million emails sent out. And I know that's how we communicate. And obviously some of you, maybe in business, you've got even more than that over a period of time, others less. But I just started to think about in the days before you could be constantly distracted by email, constantly distracted by internet, constantly distracted by text, constantly pulled. Basically, someone could call you and that was it, or come by your house, right? Or write you a letter. That was it. Now there are a million things pulling at us. And I don't know about you, but for me, just to pull back and slow down and just focus on God, focus on the word. It takes a lot of discipline. Often I get distracted again, and next thing I'm typing something out or posting something. It's like, just pull back, man. Pull back. We need to do that. We're living in a crazy day. It's a crazy moment. But it's our moment to stand. It's our moment to be used. It's our moment to turn the tide. And the title of my recent book just released, Turn the Tide, How to Ignite a Cultural Awakening. It's our time to say, Lord, we want to make a difference. And what a time to be alive. You talk about a harvest field. You talk about an urgent hour. You talk about a time when the light is needed to shine in the darkness like nothing we've ever seen in our lifetimes. This is the moment. This is the moment. If you could pick a spot in history to be dropped where you could make a difference, if you could pick a spot in history to be just zapped in where your life could count, this is that moment. This is that moment, and a critical, pivotal moment in American history and world history. So this is why I'm on the air, friends. as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity, to equip you, to empower you, to help you stand strong on the front lines, not just slogans, not just words. When we write the frontline newsletter, it's not just words. The goal is to see the army raised up. And together, friends, we can make a difference. Together, we are making a difference. And I rejoice. It's something that fuels the fires of my own heart with the glorious reports I hear on a regular basis from those we've sent out, from spiritual sons and daughters, from co-workers, from fellow laborers in the body, seeing what God is doing, seeing the fruit. He is at work. Let us seize the moment. Let us turn the tide. All right, we're going to switch gears and go to your calls on the other side of the break, 866-348-7884, also with some important updates regarding Israel. We'll be right back. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name, not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. Shout out to all of our torchbearers, our monthly supporters. You are the backbone of what we do, helping us literally to reach people around the globe. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Mike in Colorado. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thank you. Appreciate your ministry.
Thank you, sir.
I have a very quick question. I was wondering if you were aware of a website called 12judges.com, and 12 is the number 12.
12 Judges. Did somebody ask me about it? Refresh my mind as to what it's about.
Well, it's very alarming. The people who put it on there are unidentified. And when it says who we are, they say, we don't need to reveal our identities. Just suffice it to say we're established seers and prophets and apostles. And it's, the site was created to defend Mike Bickle and to say that everything that's happened to him is a straight-out attack from the enemy. and everything that's been happening are false accusations. It's a very alarming website.
Yeah, well, I hope it's not getting much traffic. The anonymity of it tells you enough. In other words, if you want to speak as leaders in the body and are not willing to reveal yourself to the body, you have no authority. You have zero authority to say anything if we don't know who you are.
Right.
So that if you want to be a witness, you have to identify yourself. You know, we're not talking about a situation where you're an underground believer somewhere, and if someone finds out who you are, your whole family is going to be killed. We're talking about someone claiming authority. So that's right there. The fact that they don't say who they are, that disqualifies them. 100% out of the gate. That's number one.
Right, but when you read the page, who we are, and their prophecies and their vision, it's not only invalidating what Mike Bickle has done, it's completely dismissing it all as a complete attack of Satan and false accusations and cancel culture and all that kind of thing. I knew Bob Jones and John Paul Jackson, and I met Mike Bickle a couple of times, and I really respected him for a long time. But there's no doubt in my mind that those accusations are true. It's very disheartening to find that stuff out, but I don't think
it's heartbreaking.
To minimize and invalidate all that stuff and pass it off as an attack of Satan and cancel culture.
Yeah, 100%. That's all the more vulgar and obscene, and it spits in the faces of those who did suffer and who were objects of Mike's sin. Look, I wish it was. I would rather that it was a satanic attack against a man of God and that the charges were all false and manufactured, because I considered Mike a genuine friend. I really thought that he was a very sincere, genuine man of God. And for those that were, I was not really close to him, but for those who were really close to him, it's absolutely devastating, because they spent thousands of hours with him.
Yeah.
Hours and hours in prayer with him. And he always welcomed the message I brought of repentance and holiness and embraced it and encouraged it. So just so utterly shocking to hear these things. But according to everything I know, there have been enough credible witnesses that came forward who were known by others who attest to the credibility of their witness, and enough of a kind of trail left behind. That's why I joined with others. We were waiting for an investigation to take place. Actually, folks are still working. The advocacy group is still working to get that investigation to happen. When someone was going to do it, a person would have been just the right one. They had to wait 2 months, and then after 2 months, now they backed out. And so it's just been one thing after another, but hopefully that major investigation will still take place. But while we were waiting for it to happen and it was going on and on, we thought, okay, we have to speak. We have to act based on the clear, credible witnesses. And I, you know, reached out to Mike individually, wanted to meet face-to-face, and you know that did not happen. But, yeah, so listen, this is, Mike, it's a terrible shame that not just that these things happen, that they haven't been dealt with properly to this moment. That's bad enough. But now this is just further confusion for the body and more salt being poured into the wounds. And as I said, the anonymity of it makes it completely lacking in all credibility on every level. It's one thing to say we've compiled documents. We're an unknown group of people that have compiled documents, and these documents are absolute refutation. No, they're claiming to speak with their own authority, and they have none here. May the truth come out, and may the identity of these people, to the extent they've sinned, may it be known so they can repent as well. Hey, thank you, sir, for the call. I appreciate it. 866-348-7884. Let's go over to Robert in Mountain Home, Texas. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Brown. In the latest, what I think is the latest round between you and Justin Peters and John MacArthur. I'm charismatic. I seem to be exactly where you are. And after the latest round, one of them came out and said we were way overdoing 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. And anyway, if you take Exodus 15:26, which is, you know, about the Lord God that healeth thee, and Psalm 35:27, at the end, it says, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So doesn't basically Exodus 15:26 and that passage in Psalm homogenized, basically equal to 3 John 2?
Yeah, so I'm not the first thing is it's the word shalom. So it doesn't mean prosperity, it just means well-being. So to translate with prosperity is not the best translation there. It just means the well-being. But for sure, 3 John expresses a general sentiment, which is a good sentiment. That I really, really hope that you're doing well and prospering and spirit, soul, body. That's a good thing. That's a positive thing. For example, when a couple's getting married, you don't wish them sick. We really hope for sickness all the days of your life. We hope you'll really struggle with abject poverty. Oh, and we're just really praying that you'll be unable to have kids, and that any kids you have won't live long. No, God forbid. God forbid. You say, hey, I hope everything goes well with you. I hope you're spiritually healthy, physically, mentally healthy, blessed by God, your needs met. Those are good desires, and those are positive things. Look, my doctoral dissertation focused on the Hebrew word for healing. So when you quote Exodus 15:26, which ends with, Ani Adonai Rofecha, I'm the Lord your healer, of course, deeply familiar with those verses. But certainly, Robert, you can make a case going through the book of Proverbs, that hard work, walking in the fear of the Lord, generosity, produce income and wealth, and laziness, stinginess, produce lack of funds. So those teachings are generally there. The New Testament even reinforces that God blesses a generous giver with his own generosity towards them. The problem is when we now measure someone's spirituality by their physical health or financial prosperity, or think that Jesus died to make us financially rich, that it's the emphasis, it is the putting people in categories of the blessed ones or the rich ones, and if you're sick, if you have a disability, if you're poor, that you're cursed. So God forbid we think like that. So we express a general desire the same way. If you know a friend that's sick, hey, I hope you recover quickly. Not, oh, Lord, bless them with even double sickness, triple sickness. No, you hear a report, dear friend has cancer, whether they're just praying for a miracle or going to the doctor. Why do we go to the doctor? And why do non-charismatics go to doctors as well? Because we know sickness in itself is a bad thing. Healing and health in themselves are good things. So we go to the doctor. And so whether the person is having chemotherapy for cancer or believing for a miracle, whatever, you say, oh, I'm really praying for you, with you. Not that the cancer will get worse and progress through your whole body, but rather that you'll be healed. And when your coworker writes to you, a friend of yours for many years, says, man, pray for me. I'm going through this financial crisis. We had this bankruptcy in our company, and now we're way behind, and we may lose our home. You don't say, may the Lord bless you with not only losing your home, but losing your car and losing. No, let's pray that God will meet you and bless you and help you. So this is just all good, normal desires. It's when we now say that if you have faith, you'll always be financially prosperous. If you have faith, you'll always be healthy. And the purpose of the gospel was to make us physically healthy and rich, then we're missing things, and then there could be dangerous error. But the sentiment is good sentiment. We share it. Non-charismatics, charismatics alike, we share it. By the way, the major interaction with Justin Peters and me together with Jim Osmond, Sam Storms, that was April of 2023. It was recorded, and then it was released months later. So there hasn't been major interaction since. But with talk about a cessationism conference coming in Oklahoma that will have John MacArthur, I believe Justin Peters, if I'm correct, some of those same players, a cessationist reached out to me, a pastor who's hosted a cessationist conference in his church and who helped participate, not on the movie, but helped participate with the cessationist movie. He said that he'd love to debate me, and hopefully, if we can find a church setting in Oklahoma City, we both agreed the cessation conference, cessationism, or cessationist conference, I think ends on a Saturday afternoon in October, that we've agreed if we can find the right church setting to host it, that we would do our debate that night, which would mean that people there for the conference, if they didn't have to leave and get back for their home churches, that they could stick around and watch that. So I would be delighted to have the opportunity to share the scriptures with those who differ, my cessationist brothers and sisters, and open them up together. So you can pray that that will happen in October. If it's not going to work that weekend, then we'll look to do it another time. All right, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. I appreciate the call, Robert. And again, for sure, it's a good thing to pray that someone would be physically healthy and their needs would be met, as well as, above all, mentally, emotionally healthy, and even more importantly, spiritually healthy. And oftentimes the spiritual health will now make its way, be manifest in other areas of health in our lives. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I want to introduce you to Trivita's multi-collagen formula. If there was ever a message I would want the world to hear, it would be about the importance of supplementing the body with its most abundant protein, known as collagen. Studies have shown multiple health benefits by supplementing with collagen. Trivita's multi-collagen formula does not have just one or two types of collagen, or even three, but five forms of collagen shown to support healthy tendons, ligaments, skin, hair, nails, bones, muscles, gut lining, and even the arteries and veins. Trivita did not stop there. Each of the five forms of collagen in Trivita's multi-collagen formula are hydrolyzed, which increases maximum absorption. Trivita's multi-collagen formula is an easy dissolving powder that can be added to your favorite beverages and even soups in your favorite recipes. Each serving of Trivita's multi-collagen formula provides 9 grams of protein, is gluten-free, GMO-free, hormone-free, and sourced from grass-fed bovine, cage-free chickens, and even wild-caught fish. And you can rest assured that Trivita's multi-collagen formula is manufactured right here in the United States of America.
To place your order for products to support your wellness goals, call 1-800-771-5584, 800-771-5584, or online at Trivita.com. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. That number again is 1-800-771-5584, 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, if you're watching on YouTube, are you a subscriber to the channel? No? Well, click subscribe And then click the bell. That'll notify you every time we post a new video. 866-34-TRUTH. I mentioned Israel and yet another event. If you didn't read my article on how we should respond to different European countries, Ireland, Norway, Spain, saying that they will now recognize a Palestinian state, I wrote an article on it. You can read it on our website, thelineoffire.org. And if you don't want to miss a single article, be sure to sign up to get our weekly updates. If you're on our email list, you get it automatically. Thelineoffire.org. Just click subscribe there. So not subscribing on YouTube, but on our website. And once a week, we send out an email with the latest articles, latest videos, and then so much more material we get your way. Our frontline newsletter, other things will come out monthly to you. So a tragic, tragic story from over the weekend. I posted this yesterday, along with many others. I mourn the horrific deaths of dozens of displaced Palestinian civilians killed as a result of IDF action in Rafah last night, which Prime Minister Netanyahu described as a tragic mistake, despite Israel's ongoing efforts to avoid harming innocent civilians. And along with the vast majority of Israelis, not to mention Jews worldwide, I denounced the right-wing extremists in Israel who celebrated or made light of these deaths. So, of course, I'm going to call these things out. I've watched a video, interviews with Israelis asking why they celebrate the death of Palestinians, and they said they don't. Of course not, they don't. And, you know, voice after voice after voice after voice saying the exact same thing. We don't celebrate this at all. There are some extremists and radicals. You have them in every group, and they do celebrate even when innocent Palestinians die. It's like, hey, they're getting what they deserve. That's sick, and we denounce that, as do the vast majority of Israelis and Jews worldwide. So IDF had the people of Gaza, they were in Rafah, leave for a safe zone, that relocated about a million of them. And according to Hamas, which gets all the information out from Gaza, that Israel bombed in a safe zone, terrible fires broke out, and several dozen people were killed, burned to death, including children. And that's what Prime Minister Netanyahu apologized for. Yeah, I read records earlier. They'd done everything to check to be sure that there were no innocent civilians there, or no civilians there, period, before they bombed. And how does this happen? So he said it's a tragic mistake. Well, there are further reports that are out now. And according to these reports, Times of Israel, IDF says hidden store of terror munitions may have caused deadly Rafah blaze. Military probing of stockpile of weapons, other combustibles caused secondary blasts leading to dozens of deaths, insist airstrike was not in the designated Gaza safe zone. So they've got precision weaponry, and they're saying, no, here's safe zone is over here, one part of the map. Our strike was over here. We're talking about it was over 500 feet away from the shelters. So there were Hamas terrorists there. So again, the Hamas terrorists in a safe zone, 500 feet away from shelters. And that they said, that's where our strike was. So could it have been a secondary blast? According to the IDF, there were Hamas munitions, weapons right next to the shelters. And that could well be what caused the fires. Hamas weapons burned their own people. Now, we will get to the bottom of this as best as we can. But, of course, the whole world will condemn Israel. And this will be known as the time that Israel burned babies. But it may well be that it was simply Hamas weaponry, which they, in their typical irresponsible way to maximize civilian casualties whenever possible, among their own people as well, to make Israel look bad, put them there for that very reason. We shall see. Tragic, tragic loss of life in any case. And again, Israel does not respond by saying, yeah, that's right, and you're going to get more of that. They're saying tragic mistake, and we're investigating to see how it happened. because according to them, there was not supposed to be anybody there that could be affected, and there were. It was because of their error. It could be, in which case it's a tragic error, but an error nonetheless. Or is it Hamas weapons that did it, which is an even greater tragedy for the Palestinian people, victims of their own leaders? All right, we go over to Hollywood. Karen, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay. Firstly, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
So I have a situation where I have four sons that were raised in the faith, and two of them recently split from us and started going to the Antioch and Eastern Orthodox Church, and they adhere to their doctrines, like, shockingly for us, it's a big shock because they believe in stuff like Mary is an eternal virgin. We could pray to, we can ask the dead saints in heaven to pray on our behalf. They believe in icons. They believe, they don't believe in sola scriptura, sola fide, sola anything anymore. They really seem to have gone the other way. They've explained to me what they now have learned, that the Protestant Reformation was a result of the Western Church Catholic system going astray, while the Eastern Church was never in those shoes, and therefore they've always stayed, remained to their roots, which is started from the apostles and their students and so forth and so on. But it's shocking to us, me and my family, that now they've left the Protestant faith and they don't believe the things that we believe. So I just wanted to kind of ask you, what do you think about that, and how should we receive this, and do you believe it's the wrong way or not?
Well, I certainly believe it's the wrong way. In other words, all those things that you mentioned as things they believe, I'm 100% sure are wrong. You know, what you their beliefs about Mary or any of the other subjects that you just listed, I'm sure are wrong from a scriptural perspective, just to be blunt and simple about it. And obviously there are different expressions within Eastern Orthodoxy. Here's what it comes down to for me. Let me back up before I answer that. To me, fundamentally, something was lacking in their relationship with the Lord somehow, and their experience with God and their walk with him somehow, that caused them to look for something else. It's just like in a marriage, that if the marriage is healthy, if the husband and wife love each other and have a healthy relationship in every way, they're not just going to stray, just to happen to stray after somebody else. The straying is often a result of something missing in the foundation. So if I was praying for them, I would pray for them to know the Lord in a way they never did before, to have an encounter with him beyond anything they've known before. There are many expressions in Eastern Orthodoxy and in Eastern Orthodox thinking that are beautiful and that are good. Notice it's not everything is heretical or wrong, just like there are many Catholic teachings that are beautiful and good, although I profoundly am not Roman Catholic. So many times when I see a believer go in these different directions, I wonder what was missing, what was lacking, what caused you to do that. And maybe, you know, you should talk with your family, you'll get some insight as to what may have been going on, or maybe things became more intellectual, or maybe there was a personal hurt, or maybe just the appeal of this is the original church. And, you know, maybe their own walk with the Lord had been somewhat shallow and narrow. Now this seems to be very expansive. But here's the deal. The Catholic Church, of course, claims to be the true church. Eastern Orthodox Church claims to be the original church. And what do we all have in common? The Bible, correct? You have competing traditions, competing aspects of authority. And if you listen to a Catholic apologist, they'll make a really good case for being the mother church. Eastern Orthodox apologists do it. Hey, you can listen to a Messianic Jewish apologist. They will tell you, no, the original, that's Jewish believers going back to Jewish roots, and Eastern Orthodoxy thinking it's the real Israel. It's wrong, etc. What we have in common is the scriptures, the Bible. So what I would say is the only real solution is if there's willingness. Okay, what we agree on, Catholic Church, Protestant Church, Orthodox Church, Messianic Jewish believers, what we all agree on is the Bible. And let's just take the parts that we agree on. Let's just say the New Testament, because we all agree on that content, and see whose belief lines up with that. Let's just do it as strictly as we can. And since we all agree on the Old Testament, we'll debate the Apocrypha. We use that too. So let's look at that and see what it really says. And if something is a major point and it's explicitly taught against in the Bible, or it's a major point and it's not taught in the Bible, or it pulls away from a biblical truth, then you've got to put a big question mark and an exclamation point next to it, because something is sadly wrong and off there. So with all respect to my Eastern Orthodox friends that will say I've been unfair, I don't really understand what you believe, I mean nothing personal. I'm only responding to this specific call and these specific questions, and the beliefs that were represented, they may not be your beliefs personally. But all we can do is say, right, what do we agree on? Catholics, Protestants, Orthodox, Messianic Jewish, whoever, as followers of Jesus, we agree that the Bible is God's word and that no tradition can contradict or override what is written. So let's look at what the word says. And then on the prayer end, pray that they will have an encounter with God they've never had before that will bring them out of all error, wherever it is, and into the fullness of truth. May God answer. May God answer. God bless you.